Morning, everyone. Some announcements for us all this morning. First of all, due to the weather, we set Vacation Bible School up in the school gymnasium. So Vacation Bible School is set up in the school gymnasium. That was done last night, which meant because we were in the gym, Megan and those who were there could decorate. So the decorating has been accomplished. So all she wanted me to announce today was that the volunteers just need to meet in the gym at 4:30 this afternoon for the distribution of the costumes. So volunteers for VBS meet at 4:30 at the school in the gymnasium. Probably best to go in the side doors. Those will be the ones that will be open. They were open last night. So there that and... looking forward to many children being present for our Vacation Bible School, which starts at 5:30 this evening at the school. Also, the 150th anniversary choir, there is a note about that in your Zion's Light down at the bottom of the page, like that, a little bold note. It says we'll begin practice August 14th. That should be July 14th. So the anniversary choir will begin practice on July 14th at 6:30 in the evening right here. Also regarding the 150th anniversary, today they'll be taking anniversary booklet photos for boards and committees and Sunday school teachers. Stephanie Opperman has given out some times on that. Bev Noble will be taking the pictures, and it's my understanding that will be done right here in between services. So I'm sure Stephanie will be here in between services rounding up people, and some of you already know times for yourselves. So look for Stephanie on that. Apparently things go better if I just stand up here and move my hands like this around. It works much more smoothly. And let's see, the most recent round of yard signs are in. So Mr. Shealy, those are in the church office, which is open at this point. Make sure that was open. And if you raised your hand about two Sundays ago and were wanting a yard sign, I'm going to ask Mr. Shealy to be out there with those yard signs, handing them out. But only if you really, you know, raised a hand, because we only got, 25 of them or something. So there we go. Let's, having said those things, turn to our opening hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save, the hymn of the month, and open with the singing of that hymn.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, July 11th, 2021 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Casey Jones. Bev Noble is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of her mother, Charlotte Oberhau Taki. Robert and Patty Clem are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in thanksgiving for his saving grace through Robert's baptism 69 years ago on July 13th and the 102 years of life thus far of his godmother, Lillian Hines. Our organist is Heather Heibreder. The opening hymn is number 717, Eternal Father Strong to Save, hymn 717, found in the Lutheran service book.
Thank you.
rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive song. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Be with you. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, you granted your prophets strength to resist the temptations of the devil and courage to proclaim repentance. Give us pure hearts and minds to follow your Son faithfully, even into suffering and death, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading for this, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of the prophet Amos, the seventh chapter, beginning at the seventh verse. This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. The Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away into the land of Judah, eat bread there, prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and is the temple of his kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the second petition?
Thy kingdom come.
What does this mean?
The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may come to us also.
How does God's kingdom come?
God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time, and there in eternity.
The epistle reading from Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning at the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he is Elijah, and others said he is a prophet like the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and his military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give it to you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison. He brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we confess our Christian faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, any of the children who would like to come forward for the children's message are invited to do so at this time. Girls, come on over. Slide in. Slide over just a little bit. We'll just slide over. Okay. All right. So, this week, I got to see one of my old friends I grew up with. It's very nice. I don't get to see a lot of my old friends very often. You got friends? You got friends? You got friends? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody likes you?
No.
Oh, come on. You're messing with me, Easton. See, I saw your face. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're just being silly. Okay. You guys got friends, right? People you know, people you play with, you know, you run around the neighborhood with, ride bikes on. Where not on. You don't ride bikes on your friends. You ride bikes with your friends. Jeez. And sometimes I don't know about me. I don't. But having friends is good. You've got friends? Yeah, having friends. You know, my wife handed me this little box this morning. And one of her friends gave it to us, a little decoration. We keep it on our dresser. That's the word I'm looking for, dresser in the bedroom. And it says, this came from one of her friends. It says, "You're the friend everyone wishes they had." That's pretty nice to get a gift like that from a friend. I'm gonna set that down right here. Don't break it, Easton. I know you're looking at it. Okay. I don't step on it. All right. So, right, we all like to have friends, and we're kind of sad when we don't have friends. And it's important. Right, Riley? No.
Madison.
Thank you for telling me.
She's Riley.
Yes. Who's the other one?
Cadence.
Do you see all this gray hair? It helps. I forget. Yeah.
Addie.
Okay. Is it important to pick the right friends? I think it's important to pick the right friends. You guys think it's important to pick the right friends? Yeah. It's important because some friends are really good for you. And they'll help you do the right things. And then there's other friends who aren't so good. And they'll convince you and help you to be worse people and do the wrong things. Now, sometimes when we have friends, sometimes we really get along very well, right? You share your lunch with them, you play, you swim, you run, you play ball, you do all kinds of things like that. You know, you get them over to your house and they see your animals, things like that, right? Then there are times when you don't get along with your friends. Has anybody ever been grumbly at a friend? Yeah, sometimes we get grumbly at our friends. You know, well, the Bible uses a lot of words to describe our relationship to God. In the Lord's Prayer, what do we call God? God is our, how's the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father, right? Yes, our Father. So that's the relationship we have with God. Our Father. Okay. Sometimes the Bible says we were in jail and God let us out of jail. It uses different words to describe it. Sometimes the Bible uses the word friends to describe our relationship with God. Right? So we know God is Father, we know we are our family, but the Bible also uses the words friends to describe that. He, that is God, wanted us to be his friends. And then what happened with Adam and Eve? God made us to be his friends. And what happened with Adam and Eve? Did they push away and say, "I don't want to be your friend anymore"? They pushed him away and said, "I don't want to be your friend anymore." That caused everybody to get upset. But God, he still wanted us to be you, all of you, and all of you, and all of them to be his friends. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to fix our relationship. Have you ever had to have one friend talk to another friend to fix whatever's going wrong between everybody? Sometimes that's happened, right? You have one friend talk to another friend. The other friend says, "Tell him I'm not mad anymore so we can be friends again." Sure enough, Jesus came and fixed the relationship between us and God. That's what Jesus did when he lived his perfect life. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross and when he rose again from the dead. He was repairing, fixing, putting the relationship between us and God back together so that now we can have friendship with God. And St. Paul says that's what we get to do. He writes in one of his letters, he says, we have this message of friendship that we are telling the world, that you now can be a friend of God. And God wants to be your friend. Yeah, it's true. God is your friend. God is your friend. We are friends with God because of what Jesus has done. So all of our lives, we're going to have friends will come and go. We'll have this friend, then we'll have that friend. Sometimes our friends will grow apart, and then sometimes we'll find new friends, and then sometimes we'll find an old friend, and we'll get back together with the old friend because we haven't seen him in a long time. But our friendship with God never ends, and his friendship with us never changes. He always is your friend because of what Jesus has done for you. Let's pray. Dear God, sometimes we are tempted to have the wrong friends. And sometimes we're tempted to be friends with the world instead of friends with you. We ask you to forgive us for that. And because of what Jesus has done, always and ever continue to be our friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kids, thank you for coming down. Please go back to your families and be seated. And we continue with the singing of the hymn, Jesus, Priceless Treasure.
The hymn of the day is number 743, Jesus, Priceless Treasure, 743, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
sermon text this morning from Ephesians, the first chapter. The Father chose us in the Son before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before the Father. Through the praise of the Father's glorious grace, with which the Father has blessed us in the Son. In the Son, we have redemption through the Son's blood. That is the forgiveness of our sins. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ of God. Amen. Well, it was kind of nice this week to open the readings and see that what is there from Ephesians. It was pretty nice because the last couple weeks you've gotten these prophets proclaiming exile, doom, judgment upon the people of Israel for all of their sins. Today in the book of our first reading, Amos has taken it on the chin for proclaiming the word of God, and the false prophet at Bethel is trying to run him out of town. And he's saying, well, look, it wasn't my idea to say all this. It was God's idea. I wasn't even a prophet. My dad wasn't a prophet. He's like, I was watching sheep. I was a herdsman. And God took me and made me a prophet and ordered me to proclaim these things. And so Amos is going to take it on the chin for proclaiming what God wanted him to proclaim. Then there's the gospel reading for today. Yeah, that's one of those readings where somebody, you know, gets their head cut off for being faithful to the Lord, and then we say, this is the gospel of the Lord. Like, sometimes you're like, what? This is the good news? Right? We're reading the good news. Yes, there's a beheading. And so you're all this, and then here's this reading from Ephesians. It's this opening up. There's no law there. It's just the good news of what God has done for you in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God the Father, in His eternal wisdom, has chosen to purchase the human race back from sin, death, hell, and the devil. God the Father chose to redeem the world from Satan's punishment, which is what is Satan's punishment? Being cast into the lake of fire. The Father did this through the perfection of the Son's life. The Son of God is in the flesh, and this Son of God in the flesh is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And who is the Savior of the world? The Savior of the world is none other than Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the Son of the true and living God. The Son of God, Jesus, in His flesh voluntarily bore the sin of the world on the cross. And in the Father's grace, the Father now counts the Son's work as your work. Right? That's your free gift to you from God the Father. Well, everything that the Son did is credited to you. The Son took your sin. You received the Son's righteousness. And this exchange the Father established in eternity. He decided this before the foundations of the world were laid. God the Holy Spirit, His job is to bring you to faith. So His work is bringing you to faith in the work of your redemption, and He does this through the administration of the sacrament of holy baptism and the proclamation of reconciliation through God's Word. Each of you, and this is a valuable and important distinction, each and every one of you are saved by believing in the already existing promise of God in Christ Jesus. Right? The promise is there. You are saved by believing that the promise is there for you. You are not saved because of what you have done. It's a very important distinction. Right? You are saved by grace through faith, not by works. Right? Salvation isn't on your shoulders. It's not what you have done. It's what Jesus Christ has done for you. Right? In other words, you are saved by believing. That's faith. Not because of believing. That is a work. Right? It's a very important distinction for us to make. So your salvation was declared in eternity. You cannot choose that. Right? It's already done for you and declared for you. It already just exists. However, you may reject the gift of God in Christ Jesus, your Lord. And here, in that little space, right there, your ability to reject what God has done for you in Jesus Christ is right where the devil, where Satan and satanic forces aim for you at. They want to hit you right in that spot. And each of us has a different weakness in that spot. Some of us may end up doubting what God has done for us. Some of us may be so ashamed and depressed of our own sins that we're afraid to even come to church because we might be afraid of what people think of us or how they might look at us. And a lot of times nobody even knows. It's all in here being played on your mind by the devil. Okay? Sometimes the devil wants us to get us to doubt the forgiveness of Christ. Sometimes he works very hard to make worldly philosophies just seem so smooth and so attractive to each of us. Sometimes he wants to get us to flat out reject our Christian faith. Right? So in that little space and our ability to reject what God has done for us, right? In that place, the devil does not want you to trust God's will for you. Right? That's what he does not want you to do. He does not want you to trust God's will for you. And what is God's will for you? St. Paul tells you what God's will for you is. God's will is salvation in Christ to the praise of the Father's glory. Right? Salvation in Christ to the praise of the Father's glory. Right? Now, this is true, but when we look around the world, a lot of times it doesn't seem like it's true. Generally speaking, right, in Western civilization, the Christian church has historically enjoyed the approval of the populace and the approval of the governmental authorities. And right now, this approval, for various reasons, cultural reasons or what have you, is eroding. Right? So the Christian needs strengthened in their confidence of their election to eternal life. Right? We need to be reminded, if God is for us, who can be against us? We need to be reminded what God has done for us on our behalf. Right? And we have to be strengthened in our faith of the Father's love for us. So in this respect, you and I are becoming more like first century Christians, or perhaps maybe with those who saw their faith, the Christian faith, eroded in philosophically during the Age of Enlightenment, or perhaps we're beginning to understand what people in Soviet-era communist nations were feeling as they saw the church undermined and taken away and the church replaced with the state. Okay? So we're starting to understand like how this happens. It's not like automatic. It takes time and it's slow and it slowly erodes and slowly falls away. Right? So now we face in our time and place a turning of the tide of public opinion, the prevailing spirit of this age. We read of Amos today as he is persecuted for saying what God wanted and not what the populace wanted. Right? So Amos got in trouble for that. That's something that the church constantly is in trouble for, saying what God wants and not what the populace wants. Okay, last week we heard of Ezekiel's commission to prophesy judgment to a people who God said their foreheads are as hard as stone. Right? You're going to speak to your blue in the face and they're not going to listen to you, but your job is to go tell them anyway. Amos today is told by the chief priest of the king, get out of Dodge. Just get out. Go somewhere else. Earn your money somewhere else. Quit talking smack about the king. All right? Just knock it off. Get out. Okay? And in a very smooth way, Herodias demanded the head of John the Baptist. Right? Off with his head. When we look at our day and secular philosophies just seem to slide smoothly or edge themselves right in, even into some churches. And oftentimes secular philosophies seem reasonable. They seem like they're about to take over everything. The world around us just might lead us to doubt the promises of God, and it might lead us to doubt our very eternal life. And sometimes, on days like today and readings like the reading, we need a refresher. We need a re-strengthener for the world that is surrounding us. So our text from Ephesians has nothing about God's wrath, nothing about God's justice, none of that. It is the purest gospel. What words do we find in this reading? There are words like blessings, adopted, purpose of his will, his good pleasure, God's will, God's grace, redemption, forgiveness of your sins, the riches of grace, the purpose of the counsel of his will, the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, the promised Holy Spirit, advanced payment, inheritance, permanently his. The goodness of God the Father we find in this text is certainly overwhelming, that everything that has been given to you and is being given to you. God the Father chose you in Jesus Christ before the foundations of the world were laid. Now run that around the inside of your skull, in your mind. God the Father chose you. That's how valuable you are to Him. God the Father picked you, your name, right there. Put it right there. He knew you would exist, and He picked you before He even spoke, "Let there be light." You were already in His thoughts. He chose you in Christ to be one of the redeemed. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, which results in you being holy and blameless before God here in time. That's how valuable you are. You are part of what we call the Una Sancta, right? The Holy Christian Church, the body of Christ. And what prompted God the Father to do this? Was it that He saw in time that you would believe? Was it that He knew you would be a Christian or something? No, nothing. Nothing in us. There's absolutely nothing in us that forced Him or moved Him to do this. Nothing less than His own internal good pleasure and His saving will for you caused Him to do that. His good pleasure and His saving will for you caused Him to declare you righteous and holy in His sight before the foundations of the world were laid. How wonderful is that? That is absolutely fantastic, absolutely amazing. Have you become a Christian? Right? Do you get down on your knees at times, or at least emotionally on your knees, repent of your sins and ask your Heavenly Father for forgiveness? Yes, you do. Then you are a Christian. Then rest assured that you are one of God's elect children. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you, because you will belong to Christ. You belong to God. You did not choose God. Remember that? God chose you, and He ordained you to eternal life in Christ. What do you have in Christ? What do you have in Jesus? You have the forgiveness of sins. That is the atonement that Christ worked for all people. Romans chapter 5, we call this objective justification. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God shows His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If God's enemies, and this is what I was getting at earlier, and you saw that sermon hymn dovetail with the word friends in Beck's translation of the Bible, the American translation, A-T-T-A-A-T, Beck's A-T-T translation. If God's enemies were made God's friends by the death of His Son, now that we are His friends, we are all the more certain God will save us by Jesus' life. Wow. More than that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given us this friendship. So you are friends with God. How about that? You are friends with the one who said, "Let there be light." Let everything be. You are friends with the one who created you, who molded and shaped and formed you, who made you you. Your friendship is with that one. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 5? But God has done it all. When we were His enemies, through Jesus Christ, He made us His friends. And He gave us the work of making friends of enemies. That's our work now. We make friends of enemies. In Christ, God was getting rid of the hostility between Himself and the people of the world by not counting their sins against them. And He has put into our hands this message of how God and man are made friends again. Since therefore God is pleading through us, we are ambassadors for Christ. We ask you in Christ. If you're listening on the radio, if you're watching on the computer, if perhaps this is a delayed broadcast and you'll be watching it on the television, right? Come and be God's friends. That's the invitation that God has given you through Jesus Christ. Come and be God's friends. God made Him who did not know sin to be sin for us, to make us God's righteousness in Him. That's the deal. That's what's going on. That's what Jesus did. Jesus bore all of your sins. Jesus took all your sin upon Himself, and in exchange He gives you His own righteousness. What is God's will? God's will is to save you. And He wasn't moved by any outside force to do this, to do what He did. He alone saved you. He put your eternal life into the hands of Jesus, and your salvation is from eternity to eternity. From before the foundations of the world were laid to after this world is wiped out. Your salvation is good from then to then, from eternity to eternity. The world may rail against you, but it's safe in Jesus' hands. No one can disturb your salvation. No one can take your salvation from you. The world may be cross at you. You may be mocked. You might be killed someday for your faith. But rest assured, your salvation is in the hands of Jesus Christ, and that is what matters. And having believed in what Jesus has done for you, you are marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, that God has claimed you permanently. And what is your inheritance? Your inheritance is eternal life. The Holy Spirit is an advance payment on your inheritance. And all of this is to the praise of God's glory. So as a Christian, right, as Christians, examine yourselves. And I, a poor, miserable sinner. Well, what have I done to make me a miserable sinner? You know in your head what you have done. You know what it was this week, right? We have the general confession in your head. You get specific in that. Right? Examine yourself. Repent of your sins. I am sorry for them. I am sorry where I messed it up. I have every intention and desire to do better this week. And then implore God's forgiveness and trust God's forgiveness. Don't fret. Don't worry over being chosen to eternal life, whether you are or aren't. You are. You are. But ultimately, this is a great mystery that is in the will and the mind and the heart of your God and your Creator. Don't try to explore the depths of predestination or God's eternal foreknowledge. That is something we won't fully understand to this side of heaven. We'll have to wait until we're in glory to figure everything out. Instead, what are you to do? You are to trust the revealed will of God, and you'll find that revealed will in your Holy Scriptures. Just simply trust what God says to you. You're righteous and holy in His sight because that happened. And because He didn't stay on the cross, and because He didn't stay dead, and because He rose from the dead. That makes you righteous and holy. And because in your baptism, your God put the righteousness of Jesus Christ on you. So when your God looks at you, He sees Christ's holiness, not your sin. That's the good news. That is the wonderful news of Christianity. For right now, be content with the promise of God and the knowledge of faith in the promise that God chose you in Jesus Christ before the foundations of the world were laid. And trust that no one can snatch you out of His hand. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds. To the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now receive our gifts and offerings.
You've been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Plasky Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Plasky Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for the singing of the offertory. Pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, thank you that in your great love you made us your friends through the work of our Savior Jesus. And though sometimes we don't behave or think like your friends, please continue to forgive us and bring us back into your circle and assure us that of your great love you will keep us in eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, Savior of all, we ask you to hear our prayers for Judy Smith's mother, Maggie Galone, as she nears the end of her earthly days. We ask you to comfort Judy and her family with your presence, granting peace and a call to glory in your time and according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Emboldened by our adoption through Jesus Christ, O Father, we pray for every need of body and soul. Lavish the riches of your grace on all those we know who are sick among us, be it a physical illness, mental illness, or emotional stress. Bless all caregivers with patience, love, and devotion for their loved ones, using we, your people, to bear them up and care for them also. Grant your peace to all who struggle on this weary road. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you are king over all the earth. You bring ruin on wicked nations and the rulers, and you are no respecter of persons. Spare our nation and its leaders, O Lord. Let the conduct of our civil servants and of our people be wise and just and honorable and in accord with your revealed will. For the sake of Christ, be merciful to those who oppose you, and remember that you desire all to be saved, and that all come to a knowledge of the truth. And as we pray for our civil leaders, O God, we also pray for those who serve our nation in its armed forces. Hear us this morning as we pray for Isabel Thompson's fiancé, Peyton, as his unit left yesterday for overseas rotation. We also pray for Reagan McConnell as she continues her basic training. Praying and asking that you keep both Peyton and Reagan under your care, bringing them home safely to their loved ones. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ, we thank you for the ability to have Bible class and Sunday school. And we also thank you for Vacation Bible School this year. We ask that you would give us this evening many hands to labor and many ears to hear of your goodness to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Prosper this day's labor, O Lord. These and all other petitions we bring before your throne of grace and mercy, praying the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Closing hymn is number 585, Lord Jesus Christ with Us Abide, 585 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Before we exit, please be reminded, I believe the script table is up out there, and also the 150th anniversary committee is also out there. If you have any changes to your address or your phone numbers, please stop by and see them so they can take those changes for the new phone book. And may the Lord bless all of you, your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.